Call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of February. We're in the Capitol City in the Senate Finance Room. It's a few minutes after 9 o'clock. Members present, Co-Chairman McKinnon, Vice Chairman Bishop Muchiki, Von Imhoff, Stevens, and Olson. Today we're going to be taking up Senate Bill 168, the supplemental bill. In past years, it has been incorporated into the capital budget. We're looking at trying to fast-track the supplemental this year. There were some problems, particularly in education funding, which we aren't addressing in this bill. But to address the supplemental early, I think it is a good thing so that the departments know what their supplementals are. An identical bill version is expected to arrive next week from the other body. With that, Senator McKinnon, can we have a motion to adopt the CS?
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill number 168, Finance 30-GS278I/D, dated 2/20/18.
I'd object for going over the CS with my staff, P. Declan. He can proceed with the sectional on what is included in this version, Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pete Eklund, staff to Senator Hoffman and the committee. Mr. Chairman, just a reminder, everybody, that there were supplementals requested in the governor's December 15th operating and capital budgets. Then also on January 31st, the governor introduced a standalone supplemental bill. And the finance committee here has had two or three overviews on various, all the supplemental requests that have been put forward by the administration up to this date. And Mr. Chairman, before, I think you want me to go through the spreadsheet, is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
That's correct.
Before I do that, just some of the high.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I'm 60 years old now, and my glasses apparently are failing me. I just want to clarify that the version is 30GS2781/D that's before us. I believe I said I instead of one.
Thank you for that clarification. And I will still object.
Thank you.
For clarification. Mr. Eklund.
Mr. Chairman, so the high-level numbers included in this bill are there are $67.7 million in all funds, $49.5 million in unrestricted general funds, $5.1 million in designated general funds, and $13.1 million in other funds. And so, Mr. Chairman, in members' packets and the public has at the back table a spreadsheet that has different items that are included into the supplemental bill. So, Mr. Chairman, I guess I will just, is it your pleasure that I go through item by item on the spreadsheet?
Please proceed.
Okay. Item number two is for the Public Defender Agency. It's $453,000. And, Mr. Chairman, this is they were unable to collect some fees, and the Public Defender Agency is already exceeding the Bar Association maximum or ethical maximum number of caseloads per public defender. So they're requesting this money to be able to fill positions they already have to help with that backload of cases. The next item number three, is for the Department of Corrections Institutions, $10.4 million. Mr. Chairman, they have their costs have not gone down as much as they anticipated, as quickly as they anticipated with the passage of SB 91, and they need these funds for their institutions. Item number four is also for the Department of Corrections, $10.3 million for increased costs for inmate health care, And Mr. Chairman, this is an area where, just like in other areas with healthcare, the costs are rising, and they just need these funds to take care of the inmates. Item number five is increased program receipt authority for DEC, solid waste management, of $35,000. Last October, they increased some fees, and they need the authority to expend those fees. And likewise, on item number six, it's a decrease in air quality of receipt authority of also $35,000. They're not anticipating to collect that $35,000. Item number seven is for the Permanent Fund Corporation. They are requesting $5 million for increased management fees because of how well are the money that they are managing. They have to pay a percentage to manage that money, and so they need this money for their investment fees. Item number eight is for the legislature for $121,000 for contractual lease increases for the Wells Fargo building in Anchorage. There's a lease has been extended, and so they need the authority to collect the receipts and also expend the receipts on the lease. Item number 13, Mr. Chairman, is good news. It's a repayment of $25 million from Primera to the Achieve Fund. This means that basically the legislation that was passed for reinsurance it's a good sign that it's working, and they're able to repay the state $25 million. Item number 14 is the one capital item that's in this supplemental request. It is receipt of statutory designated program receipts of just over $8 million from a Volkswagen settlement. Volkswagen had some troubles with emissions, and there was a lawsuit, and so this $8 million is a portion of the state's settlement.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So through the chair, just going back up to line number 13, payment to the reinsurance program, $25 million, and it says section 4A, but if you look at section, it's 4A and 4G, the verbiage there says $30 million. So the bill says 30, the spreadsheet says 25.
Through the chair, Mr. Chairman, the original appropriation, I can look at it. I believe it was $55 million was the original appropriation. And so we're modifying that earlier language to say $30 million instead of $55 million, so the difference is $25.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff. Mr. Eklund?
Let's see. Item number 15, just a side note, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to need glasses pretty soon, too. So.
Thank you.
Item number 15 is for the Department of Education, it's extending a grant for Every Student Succeeds Act. This is money that was previously appropriated, and they just want to extend the date that they can use the money for implementation of the ESSA. Item number 16 is for DEC. It's a judgment and claim. It's $322,000 to pay a judgment. There was a person was let go from DEC, and there was an arbitration case, and the arbitrator ruled in favor of the person. Item number 17 is an open-ended language for judgments that happen between now and the end of the fiscal year. Item number 18 is the Community Assistance Fund. So what the modification here is, Mr. Chairman, I guess a little history. If there is no FY18 appropriation, if there is no FY18 appropriation to the Community Assistance Fund, that fund will have $60 million in it at the end of FY18. The way the statute reads, one-third of that balance then gets distributed to communities in FY19. So that means there would be a $20 million distribution in FY19. So the proposal was to use earnings from PCE, FY17 earnings, for PCE to make that community assistance payment in FY18. The statutes say that FY17 earnings from PCE should be used for FY19's budget. And so what the supplemental proposes to do is use $30 million of one-time funds from the Achieve Fund to put that money, $30 million, into the Community Assistance Fund to bring that balance from $60 million to $90 million so there can be a $30 million payout in FY19 to communities.
And that would bring the program back on track.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Eklund, I guess one of the questions is, what's the net sum end result of the power cost equalization endowment?
Through the chair, Senator Olson. So the FY17 earnings per statute then are available to be used in FY19 to pay PCE costs, to pay for community assistance, and to pay for renewable energy and other items in the capital budget. That's how statute was set up, basically.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not worried about what's being paid. I'm worried about what the ending amount of the fund is going to be after this has been distributed, if it's taken out of there. Is it made whole?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, the appropriation in this bill, the supplemental bill, does not appropriate any of the PCE funds. It leaves them for FY19 to be used per the statute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarity on the conversation, what the chairman has presented to us is a way to ensure that the PCE fund is not overly drawn from previous practices. We have placed on PCE a lower expectation for returns to ensure the perpetuity of the fund's ability to contribute to its highest priority, and that is to stabilize energy costs in communities off the road system or that meet the criteria for accessing those funds. In addition to that, Senator Hoffman and myself, on behalf of the Finance Committee last year, carried two pieces of legislation to ensure the longevity of the power cost endowment. And in addition to that, in specific response to Senator Olson's question, to start to roll off, if there is earnings to roll off, a funding source for community assistance. In FY19, that is the case. The returns in the previous year have allowed us to contribute the $30 million to the fund in FY19. That is not before us today. The administration had proposed to take from the fund an additional $30 million, which Senator Olson rightfully points out would have been, at least under the current parameters, a potential overdraw of the fund. And so that is not happening. This supplemental proposes to go to the Senate, at least original intent, the legislature's original intent, that in starting in year FY19, should there be excess funds and power cost equalization in the interest side of the earnings, that would start to fund both the community assistance program and possible energy projects to benefit all Alaska, as does the community assistance. All Alaska benefits from that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I might point out that when the director of OMB, Pat Pitney, came forward to present the governor's budget and said that there was transparency in that budget, I specifically pointed out this item along with a couple of other items that they were short funding the program, that if that was not dealt with this year, instead of having an additional $30 million to bring it back into what the intention was of the statutes, next year they would have to come up with $60 million. And what we're trying to do here is trying to get it back on track. Senator Olson.
No further question, Madam Chair. It explains my question. It explains, especially to the constituents in my district.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Machicki.
Thank you for that question and explanation. Mr. Chair, at some point, are we going to review in this room the purpose of the community program? I just don't know that Alaskans understand the value in many cases for the communities that receive small amounts of funding. They're often providing emergency response services to people. There may just be a highway that comes through, but they're expected to provide emergency services for tens of thousands of people that they just don't have any other way to do that. It's the only support from the state. At some point, I think it'd be helpful for people to understand the value of that program and the way we've adjusted it as of last year.
I think that would be an excellent item for information, because everyone in the state of Alaska, we looked at previously the revenue sharing program and the costliness of that program, and felt that it was a little bit too heavily dependent upon state resources, and we could not afford it given our finances. And it was proposed, I think, 3 years ago now, that working with the Chairman McKinnon and Chairman Kelly to reduce that program by 50% so that it could be more affordable for the state of Alaska, but still be able to provide those services that are many communities and people in the state of Alaska are dependent upon. But that I think it would be good to revisit that whole issue, and we could possibly schedule something on that. It is something that I think all Alaskans are dependent upon, and that's why I pointed out to OMB and to the administration that they were placing a bigger financial burden on the state for a bill that, if we wanted to continue it, would result next year in a $60 million appropriation versus a $30 million appropriation. What we're trying to do here is trying to get that program back on track. Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, hand-in-hand with that, given Alaska's current fiscal situation, a conversation about power cost equalization and how that came about might be helpful. I know that some members in my community believe that there is a billion-dollar pot of money that should be used to close the fiscal gap, power cost equalization. And some may not understand that that was a investment done long ago where the legislature agreed to invest heavily in capital projects in urban Alaska to provide lower-cost, stable energy supply through some investments in dams. And at the same time, in an effort to support some of our rural communities, they set up an investment model that is somewhat like an endowment, like the permanent fund corpus itself. And while it doesn't have the same protections of the Constitution of the state of Alaska, there was an equitable portion that passed legislators and legislatures responded to an investment in fixed capital, tangible assets in urban areas, and in the power cost equalization fund that is benefiting those smaller communities. And what we did in passing legislation in a previous legislative session was to allow that fixed asset that was set aside for rural Alaska or smaller communities to actually start rolling off the funding when it could, to cover urban communities receiving that same community assistance. And so all of Alaska is now benefiting from that saved assets, but its primary function as it went through was to support an equitable investment of resources across Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Could you explain to me just how it's supposed to work in terms of, we want to get $90 million in the fund? No. I just don't understand the math.
The math, basically, the way that it worked out, when we reduced it from a distribution of $60 million a year, we went and said that the state of Alaska could not afford that. So we reduced it down to a $30 million distribution, but we said that we needed to give communities advance notice of what we're going to be funding. So we said that we would give them an additional two-year notice so that if we put the an additional $60 million in appropriations above and beyond the $30 million that was going to be disseminated, that would be $60 million, brings it up to $90 million. So when we give out $30 million, we add an additional $30 million. So the pot is $90 million, so that the people, the citizens, the communities know that they will receive that that amount of funds for the next 2 years.
Okay, so just second up question. So then about approximately 2020 to fiscal year 2021, that's that money will no longer be available?
No, every year, if it's the intent of the legislature to keep the program going, next year, instead of having to keep the status quo of adding $60 million, they would only need to add $30 million to extend it for another 2 years. So it's anticipated that every year an additional $30 million would be added so that the communities would have notification that they can anticipate that revenue for another 2 years. But each legislature decides that. Senator Michiki.
I still strongly, and I know you accepted that suggestion, but I still really believe that as we move from revenue sharing, you know, at the time when we were in a crunch, at the time we had a $4 billion budget deficit. I mean, I was one of the first to want to just shut down the program. And as I reviewed the public value of what revenue sharing had been used for, I really appreciate the change that you made through community assistance, but I really think a meeting dedicated, split in half between community assistance and PCE would be very informational for the public on how both programs work and how they might work in the future as well.
Thank you for those comments, Senator Michiki. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 19 is disaster relief funding. The administration requested a $2 million appropriation. Here we're suggesting that should be a $4 million appropriation. There is $1.5 million approximately left in the disaster relief fund right now. We typically, the administration likes to see at least $5 million in that fund. And we still have a few months before the end of the fiscal year where disasters may happen. And so the recommendation is to go with a $4 million deposit to the Disaster Relief Fund. Item number 20 is...
Senator Michiki.
Mr. Eklund, this is just one I'm struggling with a little bit. And have we ever had a problem appropriating additional funds when we have... use that account for significant emergency response events?
Through the chair, I might have to bring David Teal up here, but Mr. Chair, Senator Michiki, the recommended balance is $5 million to have the disaster relief fund to promptly respond to events. If they run out of money, and this is where I need Mr. Teal. I don't know if we have to have a special session or if we just go through a ratification, and so I'm not sure about that.
You want Mr. Teal at the table, Senator Michiki?
I think it'd be interesting. I struggle with tying that up at this time, but that might help me understand that. And we can have that discussion later. I don't mean off the record, but I it would be a helpful piece of information for me, Mr. Chairman.
And I don't know if it could be perceived as tying the funds up, because over time those dollars are going to be depleted and we're going to be adding to that fund. So it's sort of a safety measure the way that I look at it. Mr. Teal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, David Teal, Director of Legislative Finance Division. And just historically, funding for disaster relief has been, for lack of a better word, very lumpy. Disasters are unpredictable. You don't know how much you need. We've funded it historically by putting large appropriations in, and then you may go several years with small appropriations. The last big appropriation was probably 5 years ago. I think we put $32 million in the fund. And then since then, the balance has fallen from $30 million plus down to about $1.5 million. So you essentially, I guess, face a choice of either funding it at a higher level on an annual basis or dropping another large lump sum into the disaster relief fund. And given the fiscal situation, the recommendation was to simply increase the annual deposit to $4 million and hope that's sufficient on an annual basis versus appropriating another $30 million or so to the fund.
Senator Machiki.
So, administration does have the authority to spend on emergency response over and above what's in the fund. That was so. We're having to make a transition, right? When we had a fund balance in the CBR that or other savings, we didn't have to weigh anything that we have in a fund against potential losses of earnings if we use earnings reserve funds, which seems inevitable, right? So I just look at it with a different lens now about what we tie up could be something that's expected to earn. The 30-year average is 8% or whatever versus tying something up in an account that's earning nothing. So that's sort of the lens I'm using in those in that question.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, in response to that, I neglected to mention that it is possible to spend more money than exists in the fund, but I believe that balance is limited to $1 million. So that the whole issue here is that if you have too low a balance and have a major disaster, that you would exceed that $1 million negative value of the fund. In other words, you've got $1.5 million in the fund. That really gives you $2.5 million to spend. If it goes past $2.5 million, then you're back to an appropriation required. So,
and the way that I look at it, by putting an additional $2 million, bringing it up to $4 million, we don't know where that disaster may be, whether it's in your district, Senator Von Imhoff's district, Senator Stevens' district. It's Alaskans, and we need to make sure that we are in a place where we can respond to that disaster, because that's at that point it's imperative that we do that and protect the citizens of the state of Alaska. And I look at that as small insurance to make this appropriation.
I absolutely agree, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for that. That's why I wanted to get the question on the record. I do think it's time we reevaluate the million-dollar authority. I mean, frankly, our disaster prediction skills are always somewhat limited, and that will become a very small amount of money very quickly if there's a significant seismic event or something. So I think it's time to evaluate that million-dollar authority. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Teel, do you have the number of what the use of the fund was in the previous year? Or Mr.
Heckler? Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, not in front of me, but we do have those figures.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further question? Thank you, Mr. Eklund.
Mr. Chairman, so we're on item number 20, the AMHS fund. The request is for just under $24 million. There was a $30 million appropriation in the prior year. that only roughly $6 million was actually appropriated to the Marine Highway Fund, and so this appropriation would make that whole. Item number 21 is for $10,400 to the Civil Legal Services Fund. And item number 22 is after we left session, there was a contract agreement with the Firefighters Union and the Fairbanks campus and also the United Academics. This is approving those contracts with no monetary increase.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Von Imhoff.
So going back to line 21, it says fund transfers, and it's $10.4 million from fiscal year 13 to 16. How come you don't have an actual amount listed under UGF like you have right above it from AMHS? I mean, I understand that it's money that was come in. I just don't understand why the 10.4 wasn't listed there.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, it's $10,400, not $10 million. And it's
– you have amendment to make it $10
million. And
thank you, Senator Von Imhoff. Senator Eklund? I mean, Mr. Eklund?
Mr. Chairman, that's the end of – oh, other than ratifications, there are ratifications, Mr. Chairman. The ratifications don't add to the bottom line. The dollar amount appropriated in this bill, they are to basically straighten out the books of prior years.
Thank you for that explanation. Are there questions, Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back on item number 19, disaster relief funding. Senator McKinnon asked for some information on how that fund had been used this past year. If it's possible, I'd like to see a little longer term look at that fund over maybe the last 5 years. I'm sure we have that available. It'd be nice to see how that fund has been used.
We'll request that and get that disseminated to the members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Further questions? Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any further questions, but, you know, since I admitted that I was 60 today and that was an event that was just a few months ago, I thought I would mention that we do have another birthday in the room, and that's Mr. Teal. And I wouldn't be so bold as to suggest any particular age, but wanted to go on the record and wish him happy birthday and point out that he's joined some of us that have the pleasure of being grandparents. So I know he's a proud grandpa, too, just as you are, Mr. Chairman.
It's a wonderful
happy birthday, Mr.
Happy birthday. It's a wonderful time to be a grandparent. So with that, I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections to adopting the CS? Seeing none, the CS is adopted. We will take a brief at ease while we switch chairman so that we can take up Senate Bill 104, the education curriculum. We will stand at ease.
Good morning. We're back on the record. It's still Thursday, February 26, 2018, Senate Finance, and we are at a full contingent in Senate Finance. The next item before us is Senate Bill 104. It's an act relating to the duties of the Department of Education and Early Development, relating to the duties of the State Board of Education and Early Development, and relating to school curricula. Senate Bill 104 was moved from the Senate Finance Committee on April 14, 2017. At this time, we will need to rescind our actions in moving it out of committee and then have a motion to adopt the new CS. Senator Bishop has those motions, so just a procedure to get the bill back before us. Senator Bishop.
Madam Chair, I move that the Finance Committee rescind its action in moving Senate Bill 104 from committee.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the bill is back before the committee. Senator Bishop.
Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 104, version 30-LS0786/N before the committee as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion to know what this CS does. Senators, if I could have your support in a few brief comments on 104. Members of the Senate Finance Committee, we have been working long and hard to try to ask the Department of Education and districts around our state to improve student success and exceed the current testing scores that our students are generating throughout Alaska. Some students are performing very well, and teachers are working hard in districts across our state. But we continue to have challenges in competing both at a national level and globally, at least in a specific set of scores, if you look at PISA scores or the NAEP scores or anything like that. Over the course of the last summer, the Department of Education undertook Alaska's Education Challenge. This is why I have asked you to rescind your action and bring the bill back into committee to take a second look before we advance to the other body our best recommendations to improve outcomes for students. This bill, in consultation with the department and the commissioner, does not provide all that the commissioner has asked for of this particular piece of legislation, but certainly what I believe is possible and a good first step in trying to achieve what our body has been asking the other body to consider for multiple years. And that is not doing more but with less, but doing better with the investments that we do make. This bill proposes to improve access to the best curriculum in the U.S. and around the world. It intends to empower the Board of Education, Alaska's best and brightest, with the tools that they need to help support, if school districts choose, that best curriculum's rollout, that best curriculum's adoption at a state level, to provide flexibility in local school districts' time for curriculum adoption and curriculum review. I will let my staff go into the specifics of the bill, but those are the overall arching goals. My staff and I met on the bill's drafting on the CS that's before you. I believe that we still need to do a few tweaks to provide the Board of Education what I think is a long-term path to improve outcomes. But with that, Ms. Hartman, if you could go over quickly the bill and what the bill does. And we'll hold off on the sectional and allow the commissioner to come forward. As I understand it, he has a deadline, and you can come back to the microphone for the sectional after his comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Brittany Hartman, staff to Senator McKinnon. Before you today is Senate Bill 104 regarding education curriculum. What the CS would do, in a nutshell, is it would require DEED to find the best curriculum in English, language arts, and math from around the world and around the nation. The department will then bring that curriculum to the Board of Education in three tiers, with tier one being the highest quality. Once that is approved by the Board of Education, the Department of Education will choose five districts to run a two-year pilot program, of which those districts two must be rural and two must be urban. and to see if the curriculum is appropriate and effective for our schools. The first five districts will receive the curriculum paid for by the state not to exceed 150 times the average daily membership, or $10 million. If the pilot program proves to be successful, by that we mean appropriate and effective, then there will be three school years that districts can request the curriculum, and they will receive funding for that curriculum in the order it was requested. They will also receive a one-time payment of 150 times the average daily membership, not to exceed $6.7 million per year. And in a nutshell, that is what Senate Bill 104 does.
Is there further objection to adopting the CS? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill 104 Finance /N is before the body. Ms. Hartman, thank you for the opening comments. Commissioner, if you would come to the microphone, I know that you're time sensitive today, so we'll go a bit out of order. For those in the public, this is not going to be rushed. We are not going to hold the public hearing on this bill today. We'll renotice it for next week so everyone has an opportunity to look at the CS and have thoughtful comments for consideration of this body, as well as for committee members to thoroughly have a chance to look at the bill and vet it. Commissioner, your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Michael Johnson, and I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Education and Early Development.
Commissioner, my staff is saying I need to withdraw my objection. I thought I did that. So with no further objection, I withdraw my objection. With no further objection, the committee substitute is before us, /N. I apologize, Commissioner.
No worries. I don't object either. I'm really excited about this bill, so I appreciate you rearranging your schedule so that I could make a couple comments before I have to leave. I just want to start by, again, thanking Senator McKinnon and her staff, Brittany, for just an incredible willingness to think about Alaska students, even while you're addressing some significant financial challenges in the state. And it's been a rewarding process to work with you and your staff and the crafting of this bill. This bill is really well conceived. It is informed by the challenges of the past. It recognizes the current realities that we face, and it shares the vision for the future that was established through the Alaska Education Challenge. I think those three things together make for a really smart bill for Alaska students. We know that curriculum is a really powerful and underused lever for school improvement and for supporting students and educators, and this bill does just that. It uses curriculum as a lever of support and a lever for improvement. We're looking forward very much to the positive impact that this will have on Alaska students. I'm confident that our educational partners, Superintendents Association, school districts, teachers, throughout the state are going to be excited about this bill, and we look forward to working with them to implement it. So thank you very much.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is the issue of changing the regulatory requirement that school boards have to evaluate the curriculum from 6 years to 10 years, from 6 years to 10 years. Could you tell us the rationale for that?
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Stevens. So the rationale, I think, is multiple things. One is it doesn't prevent a school board from reviewing or even adopting a curriculum in a shorter time frame if they feel that that's necessary. Another rationale is that many curriculum today have digital components, and they're updated as part of the purchase, so it's not as if you buy a textbook and then to change what that content is you have to wait for 6 years. That content is often updated regularly. And then another is the reality that in some subjects, such as math, the content of what you're going to teach in math doesn't necessarily change that dramatically over 6 years. And so a 10-year time frame creates an efficiency for districts if they want to. Science would be one subject that maybe a district would want to consider in a shorter time frame.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Commissioner. That's a very good point that some curriculum would not change within 10 years, but some might. And I appreciate your point that districts can this doesn't prevent them from taking a shorter look at it. Thank you, Commissioner.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioners, we look at the same point that Senator Stevens talked about. As technology and things change fairly rapidly, don't you think over a period of 10 years that there will be a lot of changes that are going to be going on that will either improve or not improve the curricula for especially the students that are out and that are disadvantaged for one reason or another and come back with lower scores?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, yes, I agree that over 10 years, a lot can change, a lot does change, a lot will change. In terms of curriculum purchases that a district makes, however, 10 years may not necessarily, the changes that may come may be in instructional strategies, it may be in the types of media, those sorts of things that curriculum is presented in. And when you think about the range of subjects and the range of curriculum a district is purchasing, while being mindful that you want to take advantage of changes and positive things coming along, you also want to be mindful of the risk that comes from changing too often and too quickly, mm-hmm. because that sets in motion a lot of extra work and churning within the system and for teachers as they get new material and new curriculum. And the argument could be made that this bill helps districts and supports districts to adopt a curriculum, settle into that curriculum, teach it with fidelity so that students get the instruction that they need without changing too often.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Ms. Hartman, if you could walk through. Mr. Pressing, did you want to address the committee before we do a walkthrough? I know we have quite a few folks from education that are still here. No? Thank you. Ms. Hartman, if you could do a walkthrough of the CS so that we can understand the function of the bill.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. In Section 1, the department, the language that's required makes it so that the Department of Education may not require a school district to review curriculum more than once every 10 years. However, that school district, any school district, can choose to review it multiple times in that 10-year period. Section 2, subsection A, the Board of Education must establish standards and a procedure for the review, ranking, and approval of the new math and English language arts curricula for school districts to use in each grade level. Subsection B, the Department of Education shall review the math and English language arts curriculum from Alaska, from other states, and from around the world. The department has until July 1, 2019 to identify the three best curricula in these subjects for each grade level and the best practices for teaching each subject. Subsection C, the Board of Education shall approve curricula currently being used by the best five performing schools, two of those which will be urban schools and three rural schools, according to the scores of the 2018 Performance Evaluation for Alaska Schools Assessments, also known as PEAKS. This will allow for other schools to adopt any other used curriculum that they want while the best curriculum is being sought after. Subsection D, the department may submit the curricula that they find to be the best to the Board of Education for approval if the department deems the curricula appropriate, aligned with education standards, and results in improved academic achievement for students. Subsection E, the board may approve of the curricula submitted by the department as long as it is consistent with the standards established by the board under subsection A. The department shall rank the approved curricula in three tiers, tier one being the highest for each grade level. Subsection F, the department shall conduct a two-year pilot program beginning in the school year of 2019 to test the appropriateness and the effectiveness of the Tier 1 curricula. The department shall select five school districts to participate in the pilot program. Of those, two must be rural schools and two must be urban schools. And those districts will be given no more than a combined total of $10 million to purchase and implement the curricula. Again, that will be based on 150 times the ADM of those five school districts. Subsection G, if the department deems the curricula appropriate and effective, the department shall make the curricula and one-time incentive payments available to all school districts starting in the school year of 2021 and ending in the school year of 2023. If a school district chooses Tier 1, they will receive a one-time appropriation of 150 times ADM. This appropriation is available for all districts and shall not exceed a combined total of $6.7 million per year for 3 years. The department shall award incentive payments in the order of which the request was received. And so what we did to get the overall $30 million request for this bill is we took the amount of students, roughly 129,000 in the state, times it by 150, and that equals roughly $30 million, and we split that up among 5 years. I will now briefly explain what will happen in those 5 years. Year one, which is school year 2019 through 2020, the pilot program will be established, and there will be no more than $10 million given out. Year two, no money will be given out because the pilot program will be continuing through the school year 2020 through 2021. Year three, 2021 through 2022, no more than $6.7 million will be awarded for the curricula adoption. Year four, 2022 through 2023, no more than $6.7 million again. And year five, 2023 through 2024, no more than $6.7 million will be given at that time either. And all of this put together will not exceed $30 million. And if not all school districts choose to adopt this curriculum, then we will not be spending $30 million. Subsection H, the department shall publish all curriculum currently used by all school districts on the department's website. Included in that curriculum will be the three tiers of the best curriculum for English and English language arts and math. Subsection I, the department shall submit an electronic report to the legislature providing information on the curricula that each school district has adopted. Subsection J, all payments for the pilot program and curricula adoption are subject to appropriation. This section also provides for the definitions for rural, school district, and urban. Sections 3 through 5 are conforming language that requires the school boards to approve of new curriculum every 10 years, and they can do it more than once in those 10 years, but they don't have to do it more than once. Section 6 repeals the pilot program and the one-time incentive payments on July 1st, 2024. And Section 7 annuls a regulatory requirement of a local school board to have their curriculum evaluated every 6 years. And Madam Chair, that is the end of the sectional.
Are there questions on what this CS does? Senator Hoffman.
Madam Chair, on Section 2, paragraph H, it says that the department shall publish all curriculum currently used by school districts. Is there a requirement that the new curriculum that's being adopted by this legislation also be published, or is that not the case?
Ms. Hartman.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, yes, the three tiers that will be found through this legislation will also be published online.
Thank you.
Senator Hoffman, if I might follow up, the goal is to provide an incentive program of best practices. What we found in our research was that the big school districts are all coming together and agreeing on a particular set of criteria that's already out there, and that there are different levels of ability and time in smaller districts to take up the same type of process that the larger school districts can deploy. And so, at least from my perspective, there's a disadvantage in available time in smaller communities to be able to go through as thorough of an investigation. And it is only by observation that I would make this statement, that sometimes sales people from other states come in and offer our smaller districts items that look really well and are sometimes not as effective in our communities without support that is in close proximity for that. And so this by no means proposes to tread on self-determination of any community or any district who want to adopt whatever they think is best for their local communities. What it is an attempt to do is to place the power where at least I believe it should be, and I doesn't work alone in this building, as you know, with the school, the state school board. I have asked them multiple times why they have not proposed the best practice curriculum that are around the world, because they are our, they are best and brightest that are serving on our state school board, and they are responsible for the well-being of all of the smaller school districts or the school districts that are out there, but they don't have really any teeth in anything that they do to help school boards. So I'd like to expand, or at least consider expanding their role, to actually look and find for the people of Alaska best practices, certainly beyond reading, writing, and arithmetic. I don't mean to be old school, but that is what this bill proposes, that if someone can read, if they can communicate through writing, and if they can multiply, that that is at least a platform to start a successful interaction and many other things that they might enjoy. So, Senator Hoffman, I don't mean to belabor that conversation, but I think that curriculum at least is a foundational tool that districts are currently using, and I hope that the statewide school board, if they are given the power can and the resource, can tool and provide for our state examples of best practices. And if working with school districts and that adoption and a pilot program to make sure before we spend any more money than we have to make sure that that curriculum works. I think of a particular set of, I'll just say it, everyday math. For me as a parent, everyday math was extremely challenging because when I grew up, 1 + 1 = 2. It didn't equal some fuzzy number that 2.5 was okay or 1¾ was okay. And that's just how I describe it. I'm sure everyday math is fabulous. It was frustrating for my children, and as a parent, it was frustrating for me. And so I just point to those that should be wiser than I am as a parent, those that are stepping up to serve on Alaska's statewide school board, that we should support them and allow them to at least expose all of Alaskan school districts to what they believe would provide Alaska students with the opportunity to compete globally. Senator Machicki, followed by Senator Von Imhoff. Senator Von Imhoff.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I also wanted to clarify that there is a difference between curriculum and standards. The standard, Alaska State standards, were passed several years ago. We're talking about curriculum, which is which books do we choose for English language arts to teach those standards, which textbooks do we choose to teach the math standards that we've already set. And I think that's what I wanted to clarify on the record. Additionally, this is, my understanding, is volunteer by the districts. So if there are districts that choose different books, they have every right to do so. This is just an option for districts who would like to have the these curriculum and books properly vetted by DEED. So just to make it easier for districts who chose to go that route. So it is still local control if districts choose to go that route. So that's what I wanted to make clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff. And it is our hope, after multiple conversations in this body and the other, that it would provide an opportunity for school districts to have one less thing on their plate if they chose to have something vetted by the state school board and provided so that they didn't have to go through that 6-year annual review process, that they could count on that someone else had done it and that other districts were deploying it, using it, and finding success with it. Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. First, let me say this is a really forward-looking piece of legislation. I really appreciate seeing it at this table. I think it's crucial that we do the things implemented by this bill. But I do have some concerns, Madam Chair, and primarily it's about the department. We have seen the department seriously reduce its staff. It's much smaller than it used to be just a matter of 4 or 5 years ago. So my question really is, how is the department going to achieve all of this? Who's going to do it? Are we hiring outside people to do it? I guess that's the question, really.
Senator Stevens, we saw a previous fiscal note where we were talking about identifying expertise in particular subjects, again, my words, reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that those folks, as I understand it, and we shall see in a fiscal note coming from the Department of Education, to coordinate this effort. So we would see an increase, I believe, of two, if not three, individuals. I think three is, the department is saying three, that we'll see a fiscal note that has three positions that were previously removed from the department. But this would be, these three people would do something different than the previous three did in support of reading, writing, and math. Senator Michiki.
As well as fairly significant contract dollars for some of the curriculum evaluation, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens, we would have to have the support of this legislature, not just the Senate, but the House, to move forward in a positive way. And the goal is to reduce the cost to school districts for this particular activity and improve educational outcomes. There is going to be a fiscal note that needs to be scrutinized. I have heard it from others already about the three personnel involved. So I think that we need to scrub those numbers and look. But if we don't provide the funding, we're not going to get the results or the cost savings at the district level and encourage others to move to the best practice in curriculum. Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I think if there's any single issue that brings all of Alaska together, it's education for our children. And I think this is a major step forward, and applaud you for putting it in front of us.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. We will continue to work with the department for all for transparency. I've already been asked to add history and other items to the bill beyond reading, writing, and arithmetic. My words, not, I know that's old school, but this is trying to improve the foundation of education. Senator Von Imhoff is trying to place the power in the school, state school board, to offer curriculum that does meet Alaska standards, and that is their responsibility already. Ms. Hartman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to just clarify three other benefits of this bill that I may have missed in the introduction. And as you said earlier, this bill does save school districts time and money by extending the review from 6 years to 10 years, and it also frees up money to go to other parts of the school district's budget by paying for the curriculum if they so choose for us to do. And lastly, it will also allow for collaboration among school districts in both teacher training and professional development.
Thank you. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The department that's most likely going to receive these funds is going to be the Student and School Achievement Department under DEED. Their core mission already is to provide academic standards, academic assessments, and accountability, and assist schools by providing programs, technical on-site, and distance delivery support. There are already 41 employees, 12 of them being Education Specialist 2, which is the positions that we stand to add in this particular bill. So there is already 12 positions doing this work. We're going to add a couple more. The important thing is let's take advantage of all of our opportunities. And one of the things that if we're going to be managing school student achievement, there needs to be accountability, data collection, communication between districts. And one of the things that I would just, at least just to put on the record, is that there are districts that use a computer software called PowerSchool, and it's a platform for student information, homework, case management, lunchroom, grades, and IEP, individualized education plans. It's something that I just would like to pursue, is would it make sense to, in addition to helping districts with curriculum, but being able, but also supporting software where districts can communicate with one another, particularly as students migrate from districts to district. And I don't know if this is an appropriate question for you, or if it's just even it's just a discussion item at this point to put it on the record that we can continue at a later time.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff. Senator Bishop, Senator Michiki, then Senator Hoffman.
Thank you. Just briefly, to the committee, and I hope the Board of Education is listening. I know the department is, and I hope the university system is, as we're looking in collaboration across curriculum development across districts. I hope the university system can weigh in with the state school board in making sure that the curriculum will get them to K-12 to post-secondary, so we're hitting the marks all the way along the route here. And I like your comments. I'm old school, and I don't like fuzzy math that had never got you to the moon and back, and they put a man on the moon with a slide rule.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator Michiki, did you have a comment?
I don't, Madam Chair.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would agree with Senator Stevens, and I would like to thank you for taking leadership in this on this particular piece of legislation. It does take a lot of time and effort, and we have been discussing what to do about education instead of just throwing dollars at it and hoping for the best. And I think this is a very good approach, and I think it is on its way to be another success story in education. Again, I would like to thank you for your leadership.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. It is a Senate Finance Committee bill. It is all of our work product, and I appreciate a good hard look at this, as well as thoughtful questions for the department. If we have 12 specialists that are currently working for us, then what is the need for an additional three? So we don't have a fiscal note yet on this particular CS, and so that's why you don't have it. The CS needed to be adopted to get a fiscal note so that we can see the department's position on some of these concepts. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Tomorrow we'll have SB 131, Education Funding, and HB 286, Appropriations, the operating budget before us. That we're adjourned.